And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790, 266-4862, that's 266-IVOB, or you can send a WhatsApp message, you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John the Lion Staff is taking care of things technical, and Dennis Johnson, I'll be your host, and I will be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Back on the, let me get the date right, I'd like to get my dates right, Friday, August the 6th, 2010, on the We Magazine of the Nation, there was an article entitled The Good, the Bad, and the Getting Ugly. I want to borrow that headline from the Nation. I kept that in my archives for various reasons, but I want to borrow that headline from the Nation to highlight three things this morning. The good, Barbados, Ralph Busy Williams and his team at Williams Industries have converted a bus from standard engine to electric engine. I stand and salute, and I bow. I noted the cost, but I also noticed that it was said that the cost could be reduced to between $500,000 or $600,000. If that's $500,000 or $600,000 Barbados dollars as opposed to $500,000 US for a new one, I say build them in Barbados. Mr. Williams says, you know, he would have to build a plant and he doesn't know. I know he likes creating things and, you know. Mr. Williams, if they got room in Kane Garden, build the plant. See, they talk about using students from the Samuel Jackman. Yeah, make them shareholders, sweat equity. We got young, enterprising fellas out there. Let them work. If we could build 10 buses at a time, build 10 buses at a time. We could start exporting them too. We export high nose to St. Vincent for school buses. So, you know, I support it 100%. That's the good. Real good. Then we could get to doing cars. And who knows? Yeah? We started a solar water heating industry back in 1973 with an old drum and some pipes. Reverend Andrew Hatch and James Husbands, and then Tom Adams wanted one, and the rest is history. You have Solar Dynamics, you have Aquasol, you have Sun Power, you know, and I go to islands in the Caribbean and I see solar heaters on hotels with a very Bajan sounding name on it, and I go, okay then. Right, St. Lucia too. So we did it with the solar industry, we could do it with the buses. So that's the good. The bad. 3 shot dead in St. Philip. That is really bad. That is bad, 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 bad. That's not the type of thing that we associate, or that I associate with Barbados, and I would not like us to have that kind of thing become prevalent. 3 people shot dead, same time, is not a good thing. Not at 1, nothing in the morning either. So that rocked me. And to the getting ugly. This situation with the Royal Barbados Police Force, coming straight off to what I talk about the 3 shot dead in St. Philip, because it's a police service that's supposed to investigate these things and bring the perpetrators to justice. So this ongoing drama with the Royal Barbados Police Force is getting uglier by the minute, because it started off with a discussion about the Attorney General and his comments and his actions. And yesterday we had discussions about morale, we had discussions about public service changes, and we're supposed to be trying to, for the longest while, get rid of the accusations that get hurled in the public service. And then this morning the front page in the newspaper talks about the transfer of people in circumstances that apparently questioned. I'm choosing my words carefully. We cannot, in 2020, continue to have a situation where the public service transfers, promotions, appointments appear to be whimsical, to be taken in retaliation for, or done to the whims and fancies of various persons, whether they consider to be members of the political or other elite. It is wrong. We've talked about public sector reform for years. We had persons appointed to oversee public sector reform going back over two or three administrations. And we continue to have accusations thrown around. Senator Caswell Franklin, one of those who makes comments about people acting in positions and when it's time for appointments, that the criteria for appointment is changed so as to put certain people in favorable positions and remove the acting person from such a favorable position. Those things cannot continue. They undermine the integrity, they undermine morale, they undermine public trust, and they cannot promote a better society. The sooner we remove them from our landscape, like three people getting shot in the night dead, the better we all will be. That's my good, bad, and getting ugly. And by the way, the photograph of Bathsheba with the bus stuck in a line of traffic, they had Party Monarch on the East Coast. That's a lot of cars behind the electric bus. But anyway, I'll stick with the good. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Morning, sir.
You don't have to respond to anything that I have to say if you don't want to.
All right.
But I can say, and there's nothing to put the station in trouble.
So you keep saying so. I'm telling you, I will be the judge of that, and John will be the judge of that when he sits up there, not you.
Okay. I can
good.
Live with that.
Good.
And this is not an indictment. But let me stop there. The beating of Rodney King. The door of no return, pertaining to the slave trade. The millions of blacks who suffered during the apartheid system, the hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe much more, that were murdered during that system. Mandela, who was in prison for standing up for his and the rights of black people, who slept on a concrete floor before a mattress for the first 7 years of his imprisonment. Next, Steve Biko, Peter Tosh, Bob Marley, Marcus Garvey, and many more. You know, these things just get me. And what does bother me whenever I, as a black person, have to talk about the injustices that were meted out to us. We have been accused of being racist.
But you see, sir, equally, and this is the challenge I think we have as a people. Rather than sit and look at the injustices meted out to those names that you've called, and they have, look at how they've triumphed over the injustice. Look at those who have stepped above and beyond and say, I am bigger than. Martin Luther King, Steve Biko didn't get the opportunity to, but certainly Nelson Mandela did. The music of Bob Marley lives long after he's gone, as has Peter Tosh. They've changed the way people view themselves. You have people in China growing locks to identify with the movement. You have people doing reggae all over the world to identify with the cause of Rastafari. So you look at the injustice and you realize that, in the words of a song that I like, we walk around the stones they throw and we use them as a foundation to build and lift ourselves higher. There have been accomplishments by people of color throughout the world and they continue to make a contribution that will long live past the injustices. What we need to tell our people is that there will always be injustice. But in the midst of the injustice, there'll be always those who say we can rise above this, and that is what we need to do, sir.
I wonder, Dennis, if a lot of people know what the door of no return is.
So it's the place where the slaves were put on ships and did not come back. It's the reason why people in the Caribbean say the sea have no back door. That's where it came from, I believe.
When I wrote out this thing last night,
it hurt. You wrote it? Okay.
Yeah, it hurt. You know, as you get all of your memory.
I've been writing things for a while.
Right?
So I've been getting old for
it. It hurts. And
I tell you, write the other side. Go and research the other side and write it. It will lift your spirits.
Yeah.
It will make you feel better. Trust me. Balance it. Take care. It's like mixing that cocoa you mix. It's balance things. See how I get you to laugh? You're good.
I can do that. I was spinach this time.
Good. I lift your spirits.
No, seriously.
I hear you. Go and do it. Go and do it. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Sir Dennis.
How are you, sir?
Ask me how am I?
Yeah.
Then you on the radio?
Yeah, how are you?
If you on the radio, you should ask how I am.
Well, you're the only one there, so I guess you're the only one happy with it.
Listen, you are a giant I should wear a crown this morning.
Why?
It's time, before we go into it, if it's time that we start talking about the injustices that were done to all four parents and start looking at the injustices that are being done to us and see what we could remedy their job, it is time for me to do our work.
So I know I agree with you, which is why I say, every time there's injustice, rise above it.
I got caught, you bar a headline
from
this
the nation.
Morning,
yeah, I did.
And they borrowed one today that was printed on Sunday, May the 10th. Listen for this headline. Good news for employers. You hear it?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Good news for employers. Now, I am studying this CCJ ruling. I did part yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I studied the other part almost through the night last night. Now, we spoke about what was done, but I can bring the recommendation that was sent at the CCJ.
Okay.
Now, there is a position today where it is announced by the Attorney General in order to remedy the situation with the additional
deputy commissioner.
Therefore, he would have to go to Parliament in order to rectify what was done and should be corrected. Am I right, Aura?
No, that's what he said. That the Police Act has to be amended and they will go to Parliament to amend it.
You to listen carefully to this paragraph I'm going to read. But I want you to understand that this country, you don't have to tell you understand, because you're the gentleman. You understand clearly, comprehension. The fact remains today that this country is made up of approximately 60% of workers, right or wrong?
I think it may be higher, but
It may be higher, but I gone to two-thirds or a little bit more of the employment. I'm out working for us now.
You work for yourself.
Whether you be a manager, whether you be a gardener, you are considered, as long as you're working for people, as an employer. Now, I want you, that the same way that the Attorney General could go to Parliament in order to rectify or amend the legislation to accommodate one man, majority always come. Listen to this paragraph. This is written by Michel R. Russell. M. Russell. Listen, you listening carefully?
So, I read it too, but go ahead. Read the part that you want
decision,
to read.
This decision, you're talking about the decision that was made
by the CCJ.
This decision will result in significantly reduced awards emanating from the tribunal. Since an amount for lost wages can no longer be included without a specific legislative amendment to the EIA allowing its inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what they said?
Yes, sir.
They are saying they have no problem with introducing the wages, but it takes a legislative amendment to the legislation to include it so that I would say that the workers would have a valuable case and additional compensation. Now, I am calling on the Mayor Motley administration this morning that used the term Medicare's. These are the workers. The same way that the Attorney General could go to Parliament whenever it is necessary to rectify for one man. I am calling on the Barbados Labour Party administration this morning to suspend all amendments, all hearings at the tribunal until this piece of legislation is introduced at the tribunal in order that the workers of this country will have a fair share. You understand what I'm saying?
So let me say to you that the head of the tribunal is quoted in the newspaper, because that's why I don't look at television. It's quoted in the newspaper saying that they were waiting that ruling from the CCJ on the interpretation of the line that says benefits, because there was some ambiguity as to what benefits meant. That in the past, the tribunal has used benefit to mean lost wages, and they've used that clause, the benefit clause, to add wages to the compensation given to people who brought issues to the tribunal, so that they were waiting that. So they were well aware of the fact that once they had had a ruling from the CCJ on what that line benefits meant, then adjustments would be made to the quantum awarded to various people, and that some of the awards may be reduced because of that clause. Now, if amendment is made to the law to include lost wages, future income, to be part of the award given when people win cases before the tribunal, the question will be, will it be made retroactive to those that have already been given, or will it be only for cases from here on? So if you're concerned about cases that have been adjudicated, where awards have been given, and because of the CCJ ruling, those awards will be made less, even if they amended the law tomorrow to include future earnings, lost wages, and various other things to the compensation, unless it's made retroactive, people who lost, like the gentleman with the Chiffette case, will continue to be in the situation they're in. So the problem with us doing amending legislation to try to, let me choose the word carefully, because it was used by a former government minister and it went all up to the Privy Council, to fix past injustices, to make wrong things right. One has to be careful how one applies the law in cases like that, because they could come back to bite you when somebody decides to use it against you. That's all I can say. But wait and see what they do with it. Good call. You keep making it. It obviously burning you. Tell me.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever comes to work as that's me.
I know that. We have had discussions on that on several occasions, sir.
Yeah.
And I recall them all.
Yeah.
Look, the problem that arises from our industrial relations will continue to arise, because in a lot of cases that go before the tribunal, that go before the labor office, it always comes down to procedure. It comes down to whether the person can be reinstated, or whether they don't want to be reinstated, but they want to be compensated. And this matter of how you're compensated will always, always be an issue. Because you have cases where people have terminated their employees before a certain time so they don't pay them a large quantum, employ somebody else. Sometimes the persons are reemployed in a different category that changes their terms and conditions of service in addition to their remuneration. You have people on yearly contracts, and all sorts of other things like that that play into this question of what is fair, what is unfair compensation. So those right, determinations will always be open to interpretation.
Right, Dennis, let me finish on this.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, let me say this, that this is a section, and I always remember when the Sarah Spearman Act was introduced.
Correct.
Because the late Earl Walter Barr said, this is to prevent employers from sending back, sending home people willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly, yeah.
Right? So if we are at this stage that it looks as though this has opened up the gate for to sending home people willy-nilly, and all the talk that's going down in this country, people are not looking at the rights of the workers in this country. It is being eroded day by day. And if I have to go down by the Labor Department with a placard, and I'm questioning the Minister of Labor to come to the public and tell us what he thinks about what was said pertaining to this piece of legislation that should be amended or should be put in position to assist the working class. I am going to demonstrate in this country if nothing is being done about this.
Okay, sir. Thank Take it easy and don't get sick. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, David.
Dennis.
Dennis, sorry. Good morning.
Morning.
First, I want to say my deepest condolences to the people from Riverland, St. Philip. And all the best to them. Keep the heads up. But why get sex? Is people, the Prime Minister tell the people wear the mask to help keep the COVID from them. But you know, I just walk this road to go to National Housing to pay my bill. You know, I see people walking and some driving with masks with their face are smoking. That's what make me call here. People stupid or they may got no sense.
They have freedom to do what they want to do.
But then I don't know what happens to barbarian people.
Look, because it is not mandatory, because it is strongly suggested and various things, people put a mask under their chin, pull it up and down as they feel like. Yesterday I made a comment and I really gotta be very careful what I say on the radio because people apparently take what I say and run all over the place with
it.
I made the comment yesterday that perhaps wearing the mask at first makes people feel uncomfortable. And people jump all over me because the point I was making was not that you shouldn't wear it. It's that because people are accustomed to wearing it, it takes some time for them to get accustomed to it. That's the first thing. The second thing is the first mask I wore irritated my nose and I was sneezing. It was either the material it made of or what I washed it with, the soap powder or whatever, remained in it. And, you know, it was irritating my nostrils. So I had to wear another one. I was not saying that people shouldn't wear masks. But people send me letters with big capital letters that, you know, all sorts of things as though I was 10 people walk by without masks. So here's my thing. If people are uncomfortable, let them put it on in their house, walk about and make themselves comfortable with it. So when they step outside, they're comfortable wearing it. There are people who keep touching their face. I wear glasses and I adjust my glasses because it gets fogged up, right? So I have to keep adjusting my glasses. But I don't take off the mask. The only reason I have the mask off is because I'm talking into a microphone. But
true.
But ma'am, I don't understand. I saw fellas riding about on motorcycles with bandanas on their face before we were supposed to wear masks.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
Dennis,
don't know.
All I can do is sit
back
down
on
like
the banana.
You have a good day. Here, that's
you
what
too.
Brought me to call because just to see a man smoking, I got the mask on each chain. I'm smoking, I'm driving a car too. Man, it's sickening. All right, have a good day, D. Have a good day. All right, bye.
4341790. My WhatsApp is back up. Lost it for a minute there. Someone sent me a message just saying, if the bus already comes with a chassis and a body, which could be a quarter of the cost of production, how is it that it still costs over $1 million to produce the bus locally? Well, I have no breakdown of the cost. I saw a picture of the bus. I can see some structural adjustment. The windows look as though they've been changed. The windscreen looks as though that has been changed as well. The actual look of the bus pretty much looks like a regular transport board bus, but there must have been other adjustments done. I have no breakdown of the cost, so I don't know why it costs that. I know they say it took 18 months to produce. So, you know, that much I know. Perhaps if Mr. Williams and the team have a chit-chat with the media on it, we'll find out what went into the production of the vehicle. But I support the... We got a lot of chassis and a lot of frames sitting out there in the transport board yard. We could even redesign the bus, make it look, you know, beige and whatever that means. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I am good, sir. And you?
Are your family good, man? Your family all good?
When I saw them, they were fine. So I think they're still good up to now.
I see the work you're fairly hard these days, by the way.
Well, I was told 2 days a week until. So I am 2 days a week. And then I produce the others.
Well, first thing I want to say is that I'm glad to hear about the about electric buses on the road. I hope that they work and work well. But I want you to understand, and everybody in my business to understand that it's not the engine alone. That, you know, electric buses don't go on the engine, go on the battery. But I just want people to know that it's not the engine alone or the battery alone that's run a bus. It's the differential and various parts of the bus that's also breakdown. So if you just change the engine, if you change the engine for the electric battery, and then the bus is the same, before changing the matter parts, they're going to still got breakdowns. So I just want to get that off so people understand the electrical system can work as perfect as ever. All other things on the bus that have to go by, the bus still can't work, right? So I just want to make that statement. And I'm glad that they're doing being done in Barbados, and I hope a few more people get something to do too.
Good. Now, and which is why I said that we have a whole lot of youngsters, because I heard mention, I saw in the newspaper, either online or in the Nation, I think it was online, mention of Samuel Jackman Prescott students. And I thought it was a wonderful idea to incorporate them into a company where their sweat equity would be part of the production line, and they would be part owners, so that if they build 10 buses at $500,000 a piece, that's $5 million, that's good going. I ain't care if they take 18 months to build the 10 buses. I ain't got a problem with that.
Johnson,
I have no problem with that.
You hear me, all these things, right? You remember we discussed these things over and over, don't stop, right?
I know that.
So it always be a problem with that.
Well,
that's
the good thing I see about it, and I raise it as good.
Right, it is very good. But Mr. Johnson, may you argue all the time? Not argue, debate all the time. That's true.
That is true.
Right, now, this is what I call about. You know, to tell me that you don't get what you deserve, I hear you with it too, because you was doing real good. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate.
Correct.
Now, you know that?
Yep. People pay what they think you're worth, not what you are worth.
Right. I want to say something to Barbadian people today. And I hope that everybody that get a chance would listen to what I'm going to say today. Politics in Barbados is a very strange thing. For the very rich, they get what they negotiate. The people who put the life on the line and get cuss and all kind of things, people who invest in the parties outside of these rich people come in the end, when the thing election can change, they get nothing. So I want to say this, that in the Bible, I'm a man, Mr. Johnson, I read the Bible, I read the Quran, I read the Torah, I read anything. I got so much books, so I just sit on, put them all around me, and pick chapters in them to read. Because you don't have to read, you discussed this already, you don't have to read a whole book to understand common sense. You can read a chapter in the Bible and get the message and keep going down and reading them all the time or in any book. But this is what he wants to say. The problem with Barbados politicians, and that's why we can have problems all the time, is that they believe that if there's people and they who wrong them, who they against some lukewarm, what I call them, some watery, mobby, and some fish cakes that don't go on the fish, and some ginger beer that you can scarcely taste the ginger. They believe that all the people worth is that. But when the government changed, then the very rich people come and dominate everything in the country. And the people who really put the life and expose themselves, because I don't see them, get nothing from these parties. And we've got to be careful, Mr. Johnson. I want to say to Barbadian black people today, you must be able to challenge any... Well, to me, Marcia. You must be able to challenge anything. You don't have to dislike me, Mr. Johnson. I know that I got a tremendous respect for you, and I believe you got the same for me. But if I do say that's not right, Mr. Johnson, you got to be able to tell me, listen, Nasser, I ain't accepting that. Am I wrong?
No, I should be able to tell you as a colleague, as a person I respect, boss, you let me down on that one.
Right. Now, and not only that, but try to guide me there. I won't do it again.
Correct.
Because, you know, sometimes people make, you know, there's an old saying that people forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Not true. You set aside. Nobody cannot forgive, and they don't forget. The moment something happens, they go back to the same thing. Man, you do that already, you know, they forgive you. Remember that, Mr. Johnson, right? This is what I say, though.
Every time you get hit in the same place, the old wound opens back up.
No, I say all that because like I want to say, the time has come in Barbados. When the real people who just put politicians into parliament and change government must share in the success of the party when it get into office. There are too many people, including Mohamed Nasser, that have done too much for these political parties. And when they come into office, they just push you aside as though you never existed. And we got to watch that. Years ago, we had under Earl Barr and Sir Grantley Adams, you had Boy Charles Smith, you had Brian and Brian from Roberts, you had and Mencia Cox, you had, oh Lord, I can recognize names. But men, you had men and men who worked for the development of our people, You had, you had the Joy Edwards, you had the Sleepy Smith, the State O'Brien, but that was a lot from the other side too, that worked to build and develop this country. What we are getting on, Mr. Johnson, today is some politicians that we got to keep eyes on. They seem to think that all we must do is to vote for them, work for them, get them into office, and then we ain't even good enough to get an audience with them. I am asking our people, our black people in particular in this country, to start negotiating what you want if a politician want you to support them. I remember with politicians so that you get what you want or get most of what you want. So what I'm saying is, and this, these things come to me because I work out that God, after bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, killing all them Egyptians, drawing all them in the sea, everything, brought the people over the other side, and the moment they didn't see anything as water or food or something, they start to tell God, listen, most of them God, we walk about to Egypt, yeah? Don't you imagine that the Creator do all that for them? Then the God, and also make the people get them all the gold and everything. Then they went somewhere else again, and something went wrong. The court at the end, they said, walk about to Egypt. What God bring them out to Egypt for, to treat them the way they're being treated? But so I want to ask Barbadian question.
Go ahead.
Feel this question. We have two major political parties, the next one that are coming out. I ask these people the truth. Have you seen any serious fundamental change in the development of black people in Barbados since Barragán? You've got to ask the God, no. Because if I lift you to 3 steps off the ground and then lift your enemy to 25 steps off the ground, you really have made no headway. And I don't want nobody to go and tell the Prime Minister that I said this or I said that, because I am quite capable of saying what I have to say, and I ain't afraid of nobody. All I am saying is this. We have to decide to do better. You know how proud I am to hear you tell us more about these fellas and these shareholders in this business, and they're going to share.
That's the point I keep trying to make to you. Because you keep saying that we need to tell our political class to do this, and we need to tell our political class to do that, and we need to tell our people to negotiate. That's not going to change because of political parties. That's not going to change because of political affiliation. That's not going to be changed because of the color of the people in parliament. That will change when our people begin to see themselves as being worth something and stop depending on a political class to make the changes that need to be made. Because the people who have the finances that you keep referring to from time to time already have the finance. And they already know how to use the finance to the benefit of them and their families and their associates. What we need to do is to begin to build our capacity to influence political decisions in ways other than financial means. It hurts me when I sit here on a daily basis. I listen to you talk. I listen to the first caller talk. I listen to the gentleman who called in between to talk about his plight and the working class plight. I hear it all the time. I get WhatsApp messages here saying we need help. Somebody need to help us. We need help because we were laid off and we have no severance. We need help because the Prime Minister say no one will be left behind. We need help because my child wants a tablet and we have no electricity. I keep hearing my people saying we begging. We need help. And we expect the help to come from somewhere. And that help usually comes from the same people we claim who have. And those who have, sadly, some of them give because they're kind and generous. Some give because they know you will be indebted to them and you will continue to hold out your hand and say, yes, you've done good for me, so I will do good for you. So they buy your subservience. Sir, and that is what we need to break away from. And ain't no political class can do that. That ain't gonna come from a politician.
It's going to come, let me tell you, Mr. Johnson, don't let nobody fool you because I know you're a very highly intelligent man. Politicians depend heavily on the masses to get into parliament.
And they continue to use finances and handouts to get them there. They buy elections. We say so all the time. What are you going to give me?
But the point I'm making, Mr. Johnson, is that the people, the workers who work to put them in office must demand some kind of rights. In other words, if the 25 people within a particular branch that working to help put an individual in parliament, when that individual, male or female, when they should be having discussion with that 25 people, Mr. Johnson, am I wrong?
So not after they give them what, not after they give them what they think they wanted to vote for them. If I say all I want you to do is to fix me up here with a little thing, and you fix me up here with a little thing, well, after again you go about it with me, I get fixed up with my little thing. That's the the problem is people put price on their support. And those who put the least price on their support or the most affordable price on their support will get carried away. Good hearing you. There's a WhatsApp message that says, Dennis, I'm confused by your statement about wearing a mask. When there is a government ad on another station clearly stating that it is the law to wear a mask in public, you should have that clarified as soon as possible. So we have played commercials from the GIS because they send it to all the stations. I have no recollection of any law stating that you must wear a mask in public issued by the Government Information Service. I have notices sent to my phone from the GIS on various initiatives concerning the fighting of this pandemic, and I refer to it regularly, and I have nothing that says that it is the law in Barbados to wear a mask in public. And if there is such a law, I will await the GIS telling me when it was passed and when that has been changed, because I do not have any information that says, sir, it's the law. I try not to be inaccurate when I make statements on air. I'm not saying I'm always right, because I'm human and I make mistakes far too regularly at times, but that is one I have not seen. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you this morning?
I think I'm well until I'm here otherwise.
Well, I quite agree. You should be wearing the mask in public. I was in town on Monday, and it was surprising the amount of people that did not have on masks. And the amount of people who drive with their windows up with masks on, which is, to me, ridiculous. But my most thing is, the hardest thing of wearing the mask is when you have to be working in an office or somewhere with air condition and your glasses get fogged up.
Well, and that's why they say air condition, you know, if you could get natural air into the building, do so. Because this circulation of dead air and stale air ain't really good for you. But
exactly. But as you know, some of these old places and things, when you seal up,
some new ones that are glass boxes. They got windows, but they open. They can't open them. They're sealed.
Exactly.
So they're tombs.
So is a catch, what is a catch? 29?
22.
Right.
You catch 22.
Exactly. So we're trying our best, but there are some out there who just are set on their ways.
And this is, look, it's, ma'am, as with everything else, everything that is a change takes getting used to. If you've never worn glasses before, the first time you put on glasses, all kind of things. It's like off your nose, you're hurting behind your ears, you keep fiddling with it, twisting with it.
Yeah.
Right. And when you get older and you have to change the lenses, the opticians tell you, don't walk down steps with this until you get accustomed to it, because when you look down there, the steps ain't where you think it is, and so on and so on. So with everything, you have to get accustomed to it. Fine. The other thing is the type of masks. I see people with surgical masks. I see people making masks as a fashion statement. Some made of all kinds of things. Some have holes
bandanas
in them. Some don't. Yeah. Some have holes in them. Don't have soles in them. Some match. Some match. I don't know. They have holes in them. I don't know what the holes for, because apparently they're uncomfortable.
They can't breathe.
There are people who say make them claustrophobic, the elastic stretch, all kinds of things. As with everything else, change is something you have to manage and get accustomed to. Here is what I worry about. I worry that because we spend so much time, because some people are home doing nothing, looking at television, following social media, things that are being said in various places, either pro or con, wearing of a mask is being taken as law. So if you see, for example, that some country issued a statement saying masks are not good for you, they cause this, they cause that, so people decide, I ain't wearing a mask because it ain't good for me. Then somebody else says it's the law, so they take it as being the law. I just think we need to follow what is said by the GIS.
To me, I don't see there is a problem in making it a law for wearing it. However, my thing is that you need to be able to take off your mask every now and again, because you are inhaling back the carbon dioxide
that you're breathing out. Correct.
Which is not good for you.
Correct. Can't disagree with you on that. And every once in a while, as you say, those of us who wear glasses and get fogged up have to unfog the glasses.
We need to find a way to get some wipers for them.
Well, I once suggested headlights too, so we are in the same place. So that's something we could do and patent and make some money for old age. Windscreen wipers and headlights for our glasses.
Yes.
Where are you, Elton John, when I need you?
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, ma'am. Solar-powered lights and windscreen wipers for our glasses. John, let's get to work on that. Right? Good. Good thing you're not wearing glasses yet. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Let me see how I can assist you. We're trying a little hard to establish that you're human. But it's human to err and love to divine. Right?
Divine to love.
Right. Nobody's perfect. I hear you just struggling with that. But you make... Nobody's perfect, man. You can all...
Sir, I have an article in front of me here that says... Let me quote it to you.
Yeah.
It says that I hold myself up as being a Puritan. So I should strive to be above certain things. I never thought that I was a Puritan. I knew I was a real vagabond. But anyway, I'm sorry that people believe that I'm a Puritan. I am not. But anyhow.
Yeah, No, I want to tell you into some stuff this morning that you're going to endorse me. I guess I'm going to endorse you equally.
I know. Now, we will see.
Evidence is going to be there. Now, congratulations to is a guy, Mr. Clark, with this electric bus.
Mr.
Busy Williams come in and endorse it. But, you know, I've been on record of making the point about the old sanitation trucks and put them on pass and get... You heard me on that repeatedly. About repairing your sanitation trucks, all these old buses, etc.
Man, I waiting on the day they take some of them bus shelves, right?
Uh-huh.
That people had in cane fields with people using as homes,
mm-hmm.
and convert them into a bus village on some nice pasture somewhere with a nice patio in the front
already,
of thing.
Though,
and we do that as a vacation home, right?
You do that, but you think that before you say it? You put that in a thing, copyright before you say it?
No. I just give away them things. Well, you don't have money to do it.
Look,
sir, it amused me, right,
uh-huh.
when I saw a sketch of a hotel that was being built on an island in the Bahamas that get devastated, that looked like a chattel village.
Okay.
Chattel houses with water slides and swimming pool in between it, right?
Okay.
And we in Barbados are pioneers of chattel houses. We ain't got a chattel house hotel in Barbados, do we?
No.
Not that I know.
The closest thing to Child House were those little things outside the whole town there, with little houses, you know what I mean? Alongside the same.
Oh, you mean along the coast that people selling for $1 million now?
No, not those. You know, they got some wooden houses there, say that the massy going on.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of wooden things.
That's what I'm talking about.
The craft and things.
The craft village.
The closest thing, you know? Right. Yeah. Right. But not, we don't have, you know, explained. But I want to go about the saying that you would have said, as we say, you would have remembered, or you ought to remember me talking about the buses and the sanitation trucks, carry them, and if you give them to some people, mechanics, hydraulic persons, bodywork men, and painters, then one that they're going to say, this one got to go, you don't, we can't do nothing with this thing. Get everyone functioning back on the road. And I couple that with what you said some time ago. You said it was a van at Heroes and was sold next week at Carry One Night Staff.
Let me tell you, less than a week it was back on the road.
Well,
you had grass growing out of it. It had no seats. And they tell me it couldn't move. Tell me it couldn't move.
It's a matter of days.
Days.
Yeah. Right. So be clear. So that gentleman, I wish him well. But the question has to be asked here. No, I know there was something about on some site about buses order for electric bus, a whole set of buses laying off. I wonder if that order would now stand, or if you're going to look at the option. All those buses that got up there to try to put them back into operation before you talk about that order bringing those electric buses. There's a million-dollar question that has to be answered now. Because since it is the possibility that you can have those buses retrofitted and work, and there's one I think should be demoed on the road today, we will see where it goes from here in regard to endorsing that effort of Mr. Clark.
So here's the thing.
Yes, please.
Two things. If the order has already been made for the buses, the electric buses to come to Barbados, chances are they will still come here. One. Two, the story says that it took them 18 months to put this bus back on the road, and that it cost, well, close to $1 million, $900,000 or thereabouts. Okay? Now, if it's going to take that same length of time to just create one more bus without having, as Mr. Williams suggested,
have a big plant.
Have a plant, assembly line, people working on it. There was talk about the cost may come down.
Right.
No. If you have to make changes, bring in parts, bring in, I don't know, various components, the windows on the bus look like they've changed. I don't think we make... Well, perhaps we do have the facilities to make the frames and the glass cut to size. You will need to source material to put, let's say, 10 buses on the road. I don't know how long that will take. I don't know how long it would take to bring people up to speed to have them fabricated. It can't be done overnight. But the reason why I used the solar industry as an example is that look at where the solar heating industry is today. Tens of thousands of solar water heaters all over Barbados and indeed the Caribbean. Started from drum and pipes back in 1973. Right?
Yeah. I'm listening
and,
to you.
And therefore, if this is the start of us, so that by 2025, we're well on our way to producing the electric buses we need, or electric cars, or whatever we need, then this is the time to start. Now that we are in this period, now that we have people doing nothing because they've been laid off, and we're looking for ways to save on foreign exchange and increase our capacity to earn foreign exchange, this is the opportunity to do it. And since the government of Barbados back in 1973 gave the solar industry incentives to get them where they are today, and private sector got into the act, that's what we need to do going forward if we are serious about changing the way we do business in Barbados.
Could not be put better. Endorse it 100%. Could not be put better. Well put. Because you gave incentives in 73, you could give incentives now. And if you're talking seriously about foreign exchange, you hit the near dead center. But you know,
if you could make a local bus for $500,000 and the imported one is $500,000, that's two buses for every one you import, and plus you're saving foreign exchange. I can't see it being negative.
I want to add about the feasibility study. I wanted to add that if it can't be looked at, and we, you know, say, we ain't sitting here, man. We only say we're blank. Toss it up and comparatively look at it and see where we come out and how we come out. Two for one of it. We're crystal clear. This is something they know that would put the technocrats and the experts to go to work as what they will conclude at. And according to the analysis carried out, we'll be watching to see how it come out. But that is the likelihood that we can have two for one and we can have the buses, and it would also, the spin-off would be work, et cetera, according to Mohammed Nasser. It is the way to go, and it is about saving foreign exchange. I've got another strong point about this foreign exchange, because if you're telling me that tourism lick up so badly, which is not telling me, this is a fact, you've then got to go into the realm of looking at all the availability, innovation, and what have you to bring in no foreign exchange. And I'm strong on recycling as one. And I am saying, with all this love between here and now, is the time to put the recycling aspect up and get it ready, that as the world opens back up with freighting and boats traveling and whatever, that is ready to take off with foreign exchange. And I talk about that. I keep talking, and I am relentless. I've been talking about this for years, about that quarry down there with all of that metal. That's a gold mine. I know it's aluminium and whatever, but in my estimation, it's gold.
But why it's still there, though? Why is it still there?
Because they're serious about foreign exchange. I hope I've answered you properly.
Well, I don't know. I laughing with you. Didn't we bring in a machine that was supposed to crush things and send it out, and it sat down? It's been sitting there for how many years doing nothing?
It came on a lot of controversy, and I don't know for the life of me. If you got to recite a couple of houses in a sense of comparative for a couple of houses and then get a massive project like that, the couple of houses can be negligible to the amount of money you make overall. Recite a couple of people, get the area thing, and put in the environmental whatever, and let's go. There's a gold mine there, and I can keep saying there's a gold mine, though. I'm sorry to speak to you like that, but I am not indignant.
No. You think I worry about things like that, sir? So you know what? You know, my skin is as thin as people think it is. I react to things because I don't like unfair comment. I don't react to it because my thin skin. My skin.
Just like me. I don't like unfair comment.
Unfair comment. I don't mind criticism if I think it's fair. We have this way, sir. Because I may not agree with what you say, rather than saying I disagree with what you say, I can go, man, where are you going with that? You stupid or what? People, man, you always talking foolishness. That's not a response that I don't like what you said. That's a personal attack, and I don't think it's necessary.
You know,
and
you
those
know,
are the things that get me. But yeah,
anyway. You know, I had to correct you on something.
Which was?
I don't often have to correct you, but I had to correct you. You said we have some acrimonious discussion. I said not acrimony with you.
Robust discussions. I regard you too, my friend. Nanicki has chattel houses, guest house residence. Well done, Nanicki. I tip my hat to you. I should go there more often and walk the grounds.